I want you to look again this morning, and I want you to notice again verse 22. You'll find that our God, the Creator, establishes and promises a whole new dispensation for the very world that He created. Verse 22, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat, and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Now, the reason I took note that this was a new thing in relative terms is that verse 22, as you know, is spoken immediately after the great flood. The world before the flood was a perfect paradise in terms of climate. After the flood, however, there would be cold and heat, seed time and harvest. That for sure was not the case during the many, many months that the waters covered the earth. In fact, in verse 22, what we really have is climate change, not man-made, that goes all the way back to the little ice age, if you will. And of course, it's in verse 22 that we see a very familiar word that for most people presents a yearly blessing even to this day. You'll notice again, verse 22, it is the word summer. While the earth remaineth, summer and winter shall not cease. Now I know, for example, when we lived in Port Huron, Michigan, they always said we have two seasons up here, winter and August. But the truth is, summer in Michigan was as distinct and memorable and anticipated as ever. And so it is that on just this past Wednesday, June the 21st, 2017, 12:24 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, we had our first day of summer. Now, I know first day of summer in South Florida is like December the 21st being the first day of winter in the Yukon, so to speak. But it's true nonetheless that summer for us has just begun. And for some in this room, this is your 10th summer. For many in this room, this is your 15th or your 20th summer. For some, it's your 30th, 40th. We've even got a few 90 summer folks in our room today. And yes, every single one of these summers is a reminder not only that God Himself established the season, but that it was He Himself who put into His Word, Psalm 74:17, Thou hast set all the borders of the earth, and Thou hast made summer and winter. It was He who said in Ecclesiastes 3:1, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. Who said in Proverbs to consider the ant, who wisely would do something specifically in the summertime, who warned Isaiah of the summer fowls, and Micah of a righteous man who was called home to glory in the summer. Summer is a season, but it is a season that God made, and which carries for all of us here some very important and very powerful reminders as His people. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. And I do ask, Father, that You will speak to our hearts, that You will take truths from Your Word, burn them into our minds and our hearts and spirits, so that we will leave this place, as the Scripture says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so please speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Three things I want you to notice this morning concerning the summer season on this very first summer Sunday of 2017. And of course, hello, someone's phone is ringing. The first summer Sunday, somebody's first phone rang right here. The first thing God associates with summer, obviously, I think for all of us in this room, is number one, the blessings of summer. Look again at verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. This is a promise. You know, one of the interesting things about summer is that it's both a time of seed time and harvest. Summer uniquely is both a time of growing and harvesting. You notice the last line of chapter 9 and verse 3. Notice what it says. It says, even as the green herb have I given you all things. You ever think about what God meant by that verse? It means this, in other words, that little sprig of parsley on the plate that you just shove off to the side, that little piece of mint or chive that's used as a garnish, God says in that verse, I provided that. Even as the green herb, even that, He says, is a divine blessing, so that it ought to remind you that everything else on the plate in front of you is also a gift of God. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest. I don't know how long it's been since you've been to, for example, Fresh Market or Carmine's or Doris's Market, or okay, Publix Produce even. But check it out, the summer corn, the watermelon, the strawberries. By the way, so far I've bought and eaten 6 watermelons this summer. I don't mean since Wednesday, the official day of summer. Our summer. And they're all amazing. It's not yet the perfect one. Every summer I'm on a quest for a perfect watermelon. I'm looking for the one in a melon. I love it. I don't even try it in the fall or the winter time. It's not worth it because you know what? It's a summer blessing. And it's glorious. And if you don't like watermelon, then you are not going up at the rapture. Amen. I don't like watermelon. You are out of your rind. I mean mind. But it reminds me of the blessing of summer, and it's not just fruit. It's family. It's vacation and all those memories. It's grilling out. It's homemade ice cream. It's the ocean and swimming and the rain. And it's the shorter nights and the longer days and the sliced peaches and lemonade and picnics and no school and fireworks and new memories. And for me, you realize that in golf, there are 4 majors every year. The U.S. Open is in June, the British Open's in July, and the PGA Championship is in August. That's 3 out of 4, proving that summer is spiritual. Amen. It's a reminder of God's blessing. That's what this verse is about. William Cullen Bryant once wrote that summer was, quote, the year's last loveliest smile. Shakespeare, in his Midsummer Night's Dream, wrote that summer is in a sea of glory, and it is glorious. I remember every year hearing my grandmama sing in the good old summertime, and somehow she would sing it like the old radio, in the good old summertime, and I would listen to her sing those lyrics. Those days full of pleasure we now fondly treasure when we never thought it a crime to go stealing cherries with face brown as berries in the good old summertime. Okay, grandma was a thief, apparently, but she had sweet memories of summer because there are blessings here. You know, I wonder this morning on the first Sunday of this summer, if we could just all take note of how good our God has been and is being to all of us. Remember Jeremiah's famous lament? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Well, guess what? When this summer is ended on Friday, September the 22nd, that won't be true for most of you here. In fact, we get to begin the summer, and we get to spend every day of this summer in the light of the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's our summer text if you're saved. The harvest will be past, the summer will be ended, and we will still be saved. That's glorious. 47 years ago, after riding a bus to church, I got saved in the month of August. 46 summers later, I can testify that in spite of my weaknesses and lack of faith at times, God is always faithful and His blessings have never diminished. Chapter 9, look at verse 12. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. You know what? This is God talking about a rainbow that He goes on talking about continuously all the way through verse 17. 6 verses about a sign of a promise that He made. And guess what? If you have the time to look it up sometime, you'll find that the word bow here in every single one of these verses is the word for weapon. It's a battle bow. It's the Hebrew word keshet, and it's, in other words, this kind of a bow. But you'll notice that a rainbow is aimed this way. It's aimed upward. The arrow is already spent. It was aimed not at earth, but at the heart of God, reminding us that all of God's promises are founded upon His grace and ultimately upon Calvary and its cost. How many rainbows do you suppose you're going to see this summer? Well, each one is a reminder that God's blessings, beginning with salvation, come to us because of the grace and the goodness and the mercy of God. The blessing of summer. I wonder if it'll point your heart this year, this summer, toward God, toward heaven, toward His goodness and His grace. The second thing you'll notice in the text, number two, is the burden of summer. The burden. Notice in verse 22 that the opposite of the word cold is not cool or warm. It's heat. And yes, it's hot in the summer. And in addition to that, the other words in verse 22 you'll notice are the words seed time and harvest, reminding us that in spite of the heat, in fact, even in the midst of the heat, there's labor to do. And there is struggle in the heat. So in other words, as long as this earth is under the curse, there'll never be a perfect summer. These beautiful Pinterest pictures of watermelon carved into perfect ice-cold shapes, well, somebody was in the hot sun harvesting all of those melons first. I remember one of the very best summers I ever had. It was the summer of 1973. We had been living in North Carolina for several years, and so moving back to Florida, we had a whole summer of new experiences. And that summer, we stayed at my grandparents in Fort Lauderdale. And for money, we got to work. My brother and I got to work for my Uncle John. He had a worm farm out in Davie, Cooper City. Worm farm. Grow worms for bait, and you sell it. And it was one of the best summers ever, because we got to fish every canal, every rock quarry, every inlet, every bay in Broward County. And that was thanks to my grandma, who was addicted to fishing, and my grandpa, who loved to grill it, all of it, every single weekend. It was a dream for a 15-year-old boy. They lived on a canal. They had a small boat. We motored out just about every single night. I shot an alligator that summer. I caught a 30-pound tarpon. We lost power in the motor on the boat 10 miles offshore. Went to a Dolphins game in the old Orange Bowl. We made cash growing bait worms. I got to operate my grandpa's bulldozer at the job site, which was totally illegal. It was an amazing summer, but not always. Matter of fact, it didn't start out amazing. It started out horribly. Remember, I'd been living in North Carolina, and so fair-skinned as I am, if I walk past the TV, I get a little bit of a sunburn. We moved down here. I was so white, I was clear. I was so white, I didn't have a shadow. I made the Pillsbury Doughboy look like a Mexican. I was so white. So knowing that I was going to be out on the farm my first day of work with my brother, I decided the day before to get some sun. Didn't want to look like a rookie. What better place than on the roof of my grandpa's home? Went to the garage, got a ladder, found a flat spot, put my pasty self. I laid in the hot Florida tropic sun for 5.5 hours. Yeah. You say, oh. It was my only and my first time I ever got sun poisoning. I mean, watermelon, I was redder than watermelon was. You know, that night, as you can imagine, I couldn't move like a quarter of an inch in any direction without tears coming down my face. And you know, tears that are salty coming down and hitting blisters is no fun. My grandma went out in the yard and she cut up some aloe plant and she said, "Jimmy, I'm going to rub some aloe." I said, "Grandma, you are not rubbing anything on my third degree burn victim body." But for days, all I remember is the misery and the agony. So that you see, even in what I remember as the best, one of the very best summers I ever had, there was pain and difficulty and mistakes were made. There's no such thing as a perfect summer. And yet all of God's blessings in this life are accompanied with everyday burdens. When upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one. In other words, burdens will always accompany blessings in this life. 1 Peter 4:2. Beloved 4:12. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you. It's not a strange thing when believers have burdens. It is an expected thing. No follower of the Lord Jesus Christ should expect to ever have a perfect summer. You might not even have a perfect summer day. You know, someone asked me one time about Hollywood. In fact, recently, and what's the most corrupting force in movies and television? And I said, in my opinion, they only know how to send two different messages. Either the film is dark and depressing, disgusting, and full of despair, in which case it'll win Oscars and Golden Globes. Or it's fantasy, unrealistic, girl meets beast, and the water buffalo turns into a hottie with manners, so it's superheroes or ever after. It's one or the other, but rarely do they present the world fallen by sin, but overcome every day by children of God who trust in God in the midst of their burdens. Rarely do they show the experience of the Apostle Paul, who said in 2 Corinthians 4, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." Why? "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." In other words, rarely can they ever show the truth that burdens are because of the fall and blessings are because of redemption. It brings us then to the third, that brings us specifically to the third thing in the text. The blessing of summer, the burden of summer. Number three, notice also the brevity of summer. Let me ask you a question. What's the first word of verse 22? It's the word "while." God says in his great promise, "While the earth remaineth." Do you think God knows something? Do you think he's saying something? Yes, it's the word "while," and it means exactly what you think it means, while the earth exists, because one day it won't. But Pastor, he goes on in the text to promise that he's never, ever going to destroy the earth again. Yes, with water. I remind you, the sign of that promise is a rainbow. It is something that is manifest in the presence of sun, the light of the sun, and water. The same sun, beloved, that earth rotates around on a line and axis, tilting at 23 degrees, giving us summer. The same sun that God brings up in the last chapter of the Bible. When he says in Revelation chapter 22, "And there shall be no night there, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light." Revelation 21, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away." You can see how consistent the Bible is. In Genesis, it says, "While the earth remaineth, there will be summer and winter and cold and heat." But one day, no more sun, no more summer, a new heaven and a new earth. So that you see, folks, not only is the season, is this season of summer limited, but so is its existence. One of the summers that changed my life was the summer of 1972. And most notably, it was the Sand Mountain Bible Camp that summer, a youth camp. It was about 95% preaching and singing and 5% playing. But the playing wasn't needed. The preaching and the singing was so much fun, you didn't want to go out and play tetherball or whatever. On the first morning, I was very skeptical. This camp is on the Georgia-Alabama line up in the hills, and I was transported to hillbilly heaven. I mean, I thought it was Hatfields and McCoys. Like the story of the backwoods preacher who came across a barefoot teenage boy playing in the dirt in some mountain holler, and he said, "Son, where's your brothers and sisters?" And the boy said, "Well, my oldest brother's in jail. My younger brother's in juvenile detention. Both my sisters are in rehab. What about your mom and dad? Mom ran off years ago, and dad's been running from the law. I don't know where he's at." And the preacher said, "What about you?" And he said, "Well, I'm going to go to Harvard." And the preacher said, "That's awesome. Somebody in this family turned out good. What are you going to be studying?" And the boy said, "I ain't studying nothing. They're going to be studying me at Harvard." I thought I was in that kind of place. There I was, Sand Mountain Bible Camp on Monday. That first night, a little country girl, maybe 8 or 9 years of age. She got up. There's hundreds of people. There's a huge camp. She got up there and she sang a song that became the theme for the whole week. She had the strongest Georgia accent I think I've ever heard. And she got there and she sang, "This old world is filled with disappointments." I mean, she belted it out.
Troubles everywhere.
I listened to her sing those songs, and she said, many times I get discouraged. It's called Homeward Bound. But I remember thinking, we're at camp. We're going to have fun. And this little girl is talking about troubles and disappointments everywhere and every day. I was reminded when Leanne Rimes became famous. She was 11 years old. She sang a song called Blue. What does a little 11-year-old know about singing the blues? And so here's this little girl, and she's singing, we're not home yet, children. Keep your eyes on the Savior. And the minute that camp, while she was singing, they were waving hankies. I'd never seen that before. Looked like a snowstorm. And hollering and shouting and big old tears coming down their faces. I'm telling you, it was very powerful, but it was also confusing to me. Later that night, I saw the little girl with her entire family, mom, dad, brothers, sisters, all at that big bonfire with everybody else. And it was there that I learned that she was the pastor's daughter, that she had leukemia, and she wouldn't live through the rest of that summer. Already she had endured tremendous procedures and treatments. She knew she was dying, but boy, the joy, the faith that she had, and her mother. So that night and every night and all day, I sang that song. This old world is filled with disappointments and troubles every day. Many times I get discouraged. I almost lose my way. Then I remember I'm just a pilgrim in this troubled world below. That's the reason I keep singing as I go. We're not home yet, children. So keep your eyes on the Savior, just a few more days to labor, and we'll sit down beside the river. How we've longed to be with Jesus and our loved ones who've gone before us. There's a better day a-coming. We're not home yet. The brevity of summer, beloved, is a reminder. Not only to enjoy and be thankful for every blessing that comes your way, because summer will end, but recognize the truth. That both the burdens and the opportunities are temporal in this world. That text we quoted earlier from Jeremiah 8, it says, as you know, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. It is an admonition to be aware that summers do not last forever. Neither do burdens, neither do opportunities. Mark Twain, as most of you know, was a skeptic. He was an unbeliever. Although he was an admirer of the Christian faith in many people that he knew, including his wife and his daughter. He once said that he would give up everything that he had if he could have the same faith and belief of his wife and daughter. His daughter, Olivia, same name as her mother, on August the 18th, summer of 1896, died of spinal meningitis. She was 24. Mark Twain was devastated. He cherished his daughter. He wrote her eulogy that was based upon a poem that he read when he was in India, and it's to this day etched on her tombstone. He wrote, "Warm summer sun, shine kindly here. Warm southern wind, blow softly here. Green sod, lie light, good night, dear heart." You know, Mark Twain had a gift for writing, but his daughter didn't need those words for that grave or that summer. That was the best that he could do. Blow here softly on this gravesite. She didn't have a gift of writing. She had the gift of eternal life and was already in eternal summertime. We're not home yet, children. Keep your eyes on the Savior. Just a few more days to labor, and we'll sit down beside the river. Summertime is a time of blessing, the blessing of summer. Are you grateful? You realize that God wants you to receive, the Bible says, receive these blessings with thanksgiving. In other words, He wants you to enjoy them. Be grateful for them. Embrace them. Be thankful. That's why you're a father, many of you in this room. Don't you want your children to enjoy the gifts and the opportunities you give them? Well, He's your heavenly Father. How much more? Be grateful. The burdens of the summer. Are you going to be faithful? Trusting Him. Not throwing in the towel and whining and complaining and saying, I don't understand why God would allow this. But recognizing that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven. The brevity of summer. Are you aware that this coming September, this summer will be over, finished, done? The summer will be ended. Will you be saved? And if you are saved, will you be thankful? Will you be better? Will you be more like Christ? Will you be faithful? Father, bless the invitation. We commit it into your hands. And dear God in heaven, thank you that you have told us that while the earth remaineth, there will be summer and winter, cold and heat. There will be seed time and harvest, that we not, as your people, need not fear any kind of apocalyptic or ending of the world until it's in your time and your will. But that it's temporary, and during this temporary time, you shower upon your people blessings from above. May we receive them with thanksgiving. And may your goodness lead us to repentance. For the ones in this room who don't know for sure they're saved, please help them not rest. Continue to convict their hearts, even in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.